Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with the CBS World News Roundup. The Lebanese government radio says Israeli troops today penetrated 5 miles into southern Lebanon on a search-and-destroy action against Palestinian guerrillas. Beirut says the Israelis conducted a house-to-house search and blew up one house before withdrawing. It adds that there were no casualties. The Israeli military command confirms the gist of the Beirut report. Just yesterday, the U.S. openly denounced Sunday's Israeli air raids along the Lebanese coast. Members of the UN Security Council today will try to maintain a UN presence in the Sinai Peninsula, and we'll hear about that from Richard C. Hotelet.
Midnight tonight is when the mandate of UNIF, the 4,000-man peacekeeping force in the Sinai, expires. It has stood between the Egyptian and Israeli armies since 1974, and the Egyptian-Israeli peace treaty provides at elaborate length that UNIF shall supervise Israel's phased withdrawal from the Sinai over the next 2.5 years. But the parties did not consult the UN. The Soviet Union does not want UNIF to monitor a peace treaty which Moscow bitterly opposes and refuses to extend UNIF's mandate. The United States, Egypt, and others, however, set great store by a continued UN involvement and propose that another United Nations agency, the Truce Supervision Organization, assume that role. Last week, Washington thought it had Israel's consent, but this came apart over the weekend. The United States is trying now to turn Israel around because nothing can happen without Israel's approval. It is a problem, not a crisis, because the withdrawal timetable does not depend on a UN presence. That would become essential only if anything went wrong between Egypt and Israel. Richard C. Hotelet, CBS News, United Nations.
5 more men were executed by revolutionary firing squads in Iran today, 2 of them on charges of plotting to destroy oil pipelines. In Nicaragua, the interior minister of the new reconstruction government warns that anyone caught committing acts of terrorism will be executed at once, and looters will be severely punished. President Carter had breakfast with Democratic congressional leaders at the White House, urging their support for his so-called windfall profits tax on oil companies, a tax that would provide much of the funds for his new energy program. White House News Secretary Jody Powell says Mr. Carter considers the legislation absolutely essential. Lee Thornton reports that Mr. Carter is having a few second thoughts about some of his widely publicized recent actions.
President Carter told his staff that if he had anticipated the full public impact of his swift cabinet purge, he might have done things differently. However, he said the changes he made would have been the same ones. He also said that perhaps an effort should have been made to include more Republicans at the Camp David domestic summit. The White House staff was told, in effect, not to worry about those forms evaluating their work and personal qualities. The president said fitness reports are just a part of life. He added that it is such ratings that determine how teams are chosen to work aboard nuclear submarines. Staying afloat on Mr. Carter's ship, he said, will require a formula of competence, hard work, and loyalty. Mr. Carter made it plain that in cases where staffers cannot agree with matters of White House policy, they ought to leave. And the president cautioned the staff not to make critical comments about Congress that he said end up being reported as if they represent the opinion of the administration. What was the mood during the hour-long session? Pretty upbeat, said one participant. In any event, Mr. Carter received a standing ovation when he left the room. Lee Thornton, CBS News, the White House.
Mrs. Carter is still in Texas today, and Betty Ann Bowser reports that she is vigorously fighting her husband's fight in her own way.
She is speaking out like she never has before, is more accessible to the press, and when asked tough questions about the cabinet shakeup, about Camp David, about the president's ups and downs in the polls, about Republican criticism of Mr. Carter's energy proposals, she answers forcefully, directly, thoughtfully. Her aides say this is not a new Rosalynn Carter, and she herself, when asked about her influence with the president, says, "I am not an advisor, I am a wife." Yet in news conferences, fielding questions about recent presidential decisions, Mrs. Carter begins her answers with, "we thought," or "I thought," sometimes quickly shifting to, "I mean, Jimmy thought." Reporters who routinely cover Mrs. Carter say she is stepping out on her own terms, that the First Lady is trying to fashion herself into what one influential Texas Democrat called Jimmy Carter's secret weapon. Betty Ann Bowser, CBS News, Dallas.
Mrs. Carter spent the night at a religious retreat in Argyle, Texas, owned by her sister-in-law, Ruth Carter Stapleton. Later today, the First Lady will go to California for additional appearances. The House of Representatives today is expected to take its first action on a proposed constitutional amendment that would outlaw busing for purposes of public school desegregation. Mariah McLaughlin has details.
Those who want the anti-busing constitutional amendment have been working for years just to get it to the floor for a vote, and today they may succeed. First, employing a rarely used parliamentary procedure, they will attempt to get the amendment out of an unsympathetic judiciary committee and then get a vote on the amendment itself. A two-thirds majority is required to propose a constitutional amendment. As the amendment reads now, it would bar school systems or courts from compelling any student to attend a public school other than the one nearest his or her home. Those who favor the amendment say it is needed to preserve the neighborhood school, that the majority of Americans do not want court-ordered busing, and finally, they argue, busing was a noble experiment that didn't work. Those who argue against an anti-busing amendment to the Constitution call it a dangerous, carelessly worded, and thoughtless amendment. Even if the amendment were approved today, and that seems unlikely, it must also be approved by two-thirds of the Senate and be ratified by three-fourths of the states. Mariah McLaughlin, CBS News, Washington.
By voice vote, the House yesterday gave tentative approval to another delay in the projected ban on saccharin, this time to June 30th, 1981. The action is expected to become official with a vote today for the record. The National Urban League is commencing another day of its annual conference in Chicago, and Bob Faw brings us up to date.
The emphasis today will be on jobs, how government, business, and labor can work together to promote more. It will be a change from the topic which has dominated this convention for the last 2 days, presidential politics 1980. After being told by National Urban League President Vernon Jordan not to jump aboard any political bandwagon yet, delegates yesterday heard three cabinet members endorse President Carter. But one of them, Michael Blumenthal, recently sacked as Secretary of the Treasury, also had a stern message for the administration he will soon leave.
To make progress, we need more realism and less rhetoric. To improve our lot, we must see the world without illusions, as it really is, like it or not, however uncomfortable that may be for timid politicians or mindless poll watchers.
Blumenthal did not name names, said he wasn't singling out anyone, insisted that if his message were hard-boiled, it was not grounds for cynicism or despair. As he concluded, he promised to support President Carter, and as he left, he received the warmest ovation this convention has bestowed on any administration spokesman. Bob Faw, CBS News, Chicago.
A new barrage of criticism of the United States has broken out recently in the Soviet Union. Gordon Joseloff tells us about it.
The attacks cover a wide range of both foreign and domestic policy areas, but they do seem to steer clear of several sensitive subjects. For instance, Jimmy Carter is not personally under attack, and the Senate hearings on SALT II are reported only in sketchy detail. The Soviets seem to be heeding the advice of Senate Leader Robert Burr during a recent visit here. That advice that the best way to enhance chances of Senate approval of SALT is to say as little as possible about it. So the press is dwelling on other things, such as Nicaragua. TASS says the United States now has a chance to show whether it will change its errant policy by agreeing to the extradition of ousted President Somoza. As for a reported order for U.S. naval vessels to be on the lookout for Vietnamese boat people, that's portrayed as merely a pretext for increasing U.S. military presence in Southeast Asian waters. And even the old chestnut, the U.S. Peace Corps, is under renewed criticism. Obviously, according to a recent Soviet report, Peace Corps members do nothing but try to perpetuate U.S. colonialist policies in developing nations. Says one U.S. diplomat, we haven't heard that line in quite a while. Gordon Joseloff, CBS News, Moscow.
Brighter, ever brighter, gleams the price of gold. This morning, once again, it set new records in London and Zurich, opening in both markets at better than $307 an ounce. And the U.S. dollar remains weak. European dealers say it's still suffering from uncertainty over President Carter's energy and economic policies and over the cabinet shakeup.
This is The World Tonight. Good evening, I'm Richard C. Hottle at CBS News. The oil companies are reporting high profits this week, so high that they're probably giving a boost to a windfall profits tax. George Herman reports.
The numbers announced by the oil companies made a considerable splash on Capitol Hill. Gulf Oil profits up 65% in the second quarter of 1979 over the same period last year. Sohio up 70%. And yesterday, Exxon up 20%, Amoco up 35%. The companies say this is profit made overseas, that profits at home failed even to keep pace with inflation. Congressman Albert Gore was not impressed by that argument.
I just think it's ironic that at a time when all Americans are asked to pull in their belts and make great sacrifices, as I think we're going to have to do, that one sector of our society is taking in money hand over fist and profiting during the crisis. I think it ought to lead to increased public support for a windfall profits tax that the country needs to fund the development of alternative energy sources.
Oil state congressmen call the increases exaggerated because of bad profits last year, but the words excess profits tax have a louder ring in Washington tonight. George Herman, CBS News, the Capitol.
President Carter has been getting some encouraging news today from congressional leaders. It began at a breakfast meeting in the White House. Robert Pierpoint has that story.
The president and the leaders of Congress seemed pretty much in agreement today that most of President Carter's energy program will be in place by the end of this year. After a meeting between Mr. Carter and the Democrats who run the House and Senate this morning, House Whip John Brademas made this optimistic prediction.
By the time that we break on the 3rd of August for the district work period, the House of Representatives will have passed a windfall profits tax bill, a synthetic fuels bill, two Department of Energy authorization bills, and a bill granting basic standby authority to the president for gas rationing.
Late this afternoon, the Senate Finance Committee met with Mr. Carter, and later Chairman Russell Long indicated the Senate may not move as quickly as the House on the president's energy program. But Long predicted that by sometime in October, the Senate will also have acted on most of these matters, and that before the end of the year, President Carter will have on his desk legislation that Long said he will be pleased to sign. Robert Pierpoint, CBS News at the White House.
More news after this.
If you're in the market for a light-duty truck, right now's a very good time to buy a GMC. You could save hundreds of dollars during the GMC Truck and Value Time Sale. You see, GMC is making it possible for your GMC dealer to offer significant savings on V8-equipped Caballeros, vans, and pickups, and all four-wheel drive Jimmys and pickups. Get in on the GMC Truck and Value Time Sale now through August 15th at your GMC dealer.
GMC!
Trucks are what we're all about. This is Hal Douglas for ACL, Atlantic Container Line. When you export to Europe, you want the number one cargo line for speed, service, and savings. You want ACL. ACL offers door-to-door service and three departures every week direct to eight European ports. If you export or plan to, save time and money with ACL, number one to Europe. Call your foreign freight forwarder or Atlantic Container Line representative.
It seemed almost a gesture of defiance. Only hours after the United States strongly condemned Israeli air raids in Lebanon, an Israeli task force crossed into Lebanon to search for guerrillas, blew up an empty house, and returned home. More from Jerry Bowen in Tel Aviv.
It marks the fourth time this month that Israeli forces have staged a search and destroy mission in Lebanon. The overnight attack came as the United States condemned Sunday's Israeli airstrikes at suspected terrorist bases along the Lebanese coast. The Israeli Foreign Ministry today had no comment on the U.S. protest, but the military command reiterated earlier claims that terrorist bases were hit and at least 15 guerrillas were killed or wounded. A senior defense source asserted that the Israelis made no mistake in the Sunday raid, but he admitted that four civilians were killed by Israeli count. The official said that was unfortunate but also unavoidable. The Sunday raid and the ground troop attack of last night were described as in line with Israeli policy to strike at the terrorist any time to prevent an attack on Israel. According to the senior defense official, the policy is effective and will continue. Jerry Bowen, CBS News, Tel Aviv.
Secretary General Waldheim said tonight he's making the necessary arrangements for the withdrawal of UNIF, the United Nations force that's been helping keep the peace between Egypt and Israel. Its mandate expires at midnight, and the Soviet Union refused to extend it. So far, Israel has refused a compromise plan for UN observers. The House of Representatives defeated a constitutional amendment today that would have prohibited the forced use of busing to achieve school integration. The vote was 216 to 209. Mariah McLaughlin reports.
Supporters of the anti-busing amendment argued that school busing had caused more problems than it had solved, one member terming it a cancer on public education. The author of the resolution, Ron Model, put it this way.
Corridor busing is correctly seen as a creature of the judiciary which has run amok and which is literally tearing apart many of our largest public school systems. This judicial terrorism must end, and the only tool for the job is a constitutional amendment.
The House leadership, the administration, and various unions and minority groups opposed the measure, and so did Congressman John Anderson.
I think this is the wrong time. This is the wrong place. This is the wrong way in which to tamper with the Constitution of the United States, and I urge the defeat of the motion.
Even if the measure had been approved, the Senate would have had to go along, and three-fourths of the states would have had to ratify it before it would have become an amendment to the Constitution. Mariah McLaughlin, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
The Wall Street Report in a moment.
Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Roberta Flack.
Reach out and touch someone. Won't you reach out, call up and just say hi. Reach out and touch someone. Wherever you are, you're never too far. They're waiting to share your day.
You can keep your whole world close around you. Just pick up your phone and give them a call. Anywhere, anytime. You gotta know someone who'd like to hear from you, like right now.
People from coast to coast, calling up friends to keep them close. Families who care so much, keeping in touch. Reach out and touch someone.
Isn't there somebody far away you'd like to talk to? Call up and just say hi. The Bell System.
Stocks higher on Wall Street today. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed around 8:30, up 4.25. The average price per share was up 11 cents on the New York Exchange. Volume, a moderate 29-odd million shares. The average price was up 1 cent on the American Exchange. Wall Street on this World Tonight.